to say a big thank you to absolutely everybody who took part. This morning's service is a local arrangement which will involve various stewards, and the most special thing of all is that we're very glad to have Chrissy with us, Chrissy Chevasut, who is the outreach and development worker with transgender, intersex and non-binary people, and she comes from St. Columba's United Reformed Church. Chrissy, it's wonderful to have you with us again, and we look forward to your message. Do please join us at the end of the service for tea and coffee and chat in the hall, which is through the doors to my left. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you on this beautiful morning. And our call to worship is the grace, love, and fellowship of God surrounds us today and always. So come, let us journey together in the wonderful adventure of worshiping God, the Holy Three in One, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're going to begin our singing with Singing the Faith 531, What a Friend We Have in Jesus.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come before you now to worship, to marvel at your being, to focus on your calling to us, to know your love and to seek your truth. On this Trinity Sunday, O God, the Holy Trinity, we worship you, even though sometimes we have doubts and fears. Forgive us for the times when we have failed you. You are the one we adore, without whom life has no purpose. You, O Holy Trinity, meet us and greet us, support and uphold us, provide for us and equip us wherever we are on our journey in life. We adventure with you into the known and the unknown, but believing that you will always be with us to the end of the age. You are the one we adore.
You invite us to go on the greatest adventure ever. Meet us today as we come to worship you. May we rest in your giant loving arms and know your presence with us. May we find safety and security there. Raise us up that we may find strength when we are weary and energy when we are faint, so we never fail to praise your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And we pray together in the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hello. Oh, there's a slight. I'm not going to put it in my pocket. I'm just going to hold it. Right, over the last 2 weeks or so, there has been a lot.
Is that better? There we go. Over the last couple of weeks, there has been an awful lot of cake at Wesley Mem. I don't know if you've noticed that. We had cake for the Christian Aid sale. We had cake for Art Weeks. And then last week, in the midst of Joseph, there was cake. Cake is an important ingredient of life at Wesley Memorial. And we also did a lot of improvising last week. Those of us who were involved in Joseph, that was a key ingredient as well. So I thought we'd do a bit more improvising today, and it might be even more important that I have a helper stood up here because I need to speak into this microphone now. So Thomas, do you think you could be in charge? Because I didn't make a cake at all in all this. So I thought I'd have a go now, and I'd like you to remind me how to do it. Could you take this bowl and spoon, Thomas? Is that all right? If you come here, that's all right. That's it. You hold that for me. Now, what ingredients do we need in our cake? What do you think? Flour. Now, flour was the first thing that came in my head. And I'm wondering, that's probably the biggest ingredient in a cake. Maybe that's enough. Should we just put flour in? Aaron, could you put some flour in the bowl for Thomas? Thank you. Brilliant. You just tip it in. You know, that's it. Brilliant. Brilliant. Right. So we've got some flour in the bowl. Is that enough? Have we got a cake now? No? What else do we need? You got any ideas? Eggs? But you only need a few eggs, and you need loads of, you know, the number of the amount of flour, like 250. There might only be 3 eggs. Do we really need eggs? Yes, we do. We do need eggs. So can you put some eggs in the bowl? Careful you don't drop any shell in. We're doing the all-in-one method. Because I don't want to be doing loads of washing up. So, yeah, crack them in. That's it. Lovely technique. Dip them in. That's it. Erin, could you do a bit of stirring while it's there? That's lovely. What else do we need in our cake? Sugar. Come on then, Alice. Pop that sugar in there. Brilliant. Anything else we need? Good stirring technique there. Anything else we need in this cake? Butter, yes. Any volunteers to bring the butter? Mary, come on. That's it, pop the butter in. And what was it you said? A bit of liquid, could be water, could be milk, couldn't it? Can you come and do that, Jasper? Or are you gonna shoot it from over there? Brilliant, excellent. We've got the liquid in. Anything else that we might want to put in our cake? Pardon? Sorry? Cocoa, this is quite, we're not going for chocolate cake, are we? We are, let's go. Yes, we don't need cocoa, but yes, we do. Today we need chocolate. So we'll put some cocoa, I'll put the cocoa in. There we go, lovely. Do we think we're about ready to put our cake in the oven? Baking powder, you could put a pinch of that in. Yeah. Vanilla, a bit of vanilla. Oh, there's all kinds of lovely stuff we could put in this cake. I think, how's it smell?
Cheese.
That's taking improvisation a little bit too far, Jasper. It's not a cheesecake, yeah. Lovely. Okay, brilliant. I think you've done a great job. So when we go through, we'll bake that and we'll pretend to eat it. Lovely. Okay, so let's pop it here. Thank you, boys. You've been brilliant. I knew you would be brilliant because I've seen you acting before. There are lots of ingredients needed to make a cake. One person can make a cake, but you need lots of ingredients. And it turns out that lots of ingredients are needed to make a show. And those ingredients are mostly people. We've got a picture of a lot of the people who were involved. And there were lots and lots of people, but actually, even that picture doesn't do it justice, because there were people who baked cakes, there were people who cooked meals for us, who washed up, did lots of work. There were people that helped with the setup and the takedown who aren't in that picture as well. There were lots and lots of people. There were people who were on the stage, but there were people who were off the stage and less visible. And perhaps the fact that some people in this picture are a little bit in shadow is a good reminder that we don't always see all the people who were involved in making things work. We baked up a great show. Now, Jesus didn't do things on his own either. He worked as a team with other people. Jesus showed us that it's important to work in community, to be together, to work together as a team, to bring about God's kingdom. And I'm so glad we were able to do that over the last few weeks in many ways. And we look forward to doing that again as we carry on into the rest of the year after a little break. Thank you. To sing together. And our next hymn is hymn 39, Angel Voices Ever Singing. So the children are going to leave, and we join together to say, the Lord be with you, and also with you.
We're now going to have the readings. There's no anthem this morning, so Shelby is going to come.
A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age."
The next reading is from Corinthians 13, verses 11 to 13. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
We're going to sing again now. Singing the Faith, number 287, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day. Well, I've remembered my glasses. I've remembered my talk notes. And I've remembered my phone, because you don't have a preacher's watch clock on the wall. The only problem is that all my life, wherever I've been working, I always get a phone call from my mother. It was my mother's funeral 2 weeks ago. So I'm in real trouble if she calls me today. But her funeral was a glorious occasion. And there was one moment where family were sat on the front row. And it was a humanist service. But my mother had been evacuated to Wales as a child. And there's nothing she loved more than a good hymn in Welsh. And they played a Welsh male voice choir singing, "How I Need Thee, Oh How I Need Thee." That's my prayer this morning, because I am here to share God's word with you. And I am wholly inadequate. And my prayer this morning is, "How I Need Thee, Oh How I Need Thee." Don't we all? It's Trinity Sunday, and I'm not going to even go there. Because I'm sure there are some eminent erudite theologians here who would grill me over cake and coffee afterwards. Rather, I've chosen from the lectionary the reading of Matthew 28, where it says the 11 disciples went up on the mountain to meet Jesus. Well, can you imagine? Do you think that's really true? That Jesus was arrested and all the men, bar John, fled. The women remained with Jesus. I would imagine through his trial, through his torture, along with him as he carried the cross to Golgotha, they were with him beneath the cross. They anointed his body for burial. They were there to greet the risen Lord. And yet scripture says only the 11 male disciples went up on the mountain. Can you imagine them saying to the women, after all that, "You stay here, we've got an important meeting." So all the women today, you're let off. You don't have to make disciples. It's just the men. I jest. On the cross, Jesus turned to John and said, "This is your mother." And to his mother Mary, he said, "This is your son." From that day, John took Mary into his home. Where do you imagine the women in the early church gravitated towards? I imagine the women in that first church gravitated around Mary. They had learned something. And when we hear John's gospel, I hear the women's voices resounding loud and clear. They understood something. They knew something so essential, so fundamental, so natural. Just to be with Jesus. So when in the book of John we hear the secret of making disciples, I hear the women's voices, I hear Mary's voice. Three times in quick succession in John's Gospel, chapter 14, and I'm tempted to call it the women's gospel. To make plain and simple the most important vital truth, Jesus teaches the secret of discipleship. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Verses 15 and 16. Just a few verses later, again, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Verse 21. A few verses later, two verses later, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Verse 23. Three times in quick succession. If somebody says something to you once, it might be important. If somebody says something to you twice, you listen. When somebody says something to you three times, you know beyond all shadow of a doubt that you're being told something vitally important. How do you make disciples? I suggest, who's got a Bible with the words of Jesus in red? One, two. Two. I suggest you go and buy a Bible with the words of Jesus in red. If you can't afford to go and buy in the Bible with the words of Jesus in red, go and buy a red highlighter pen. Go through the Gospels and highlight every word that Jesus spoke. Study those words, feed on those words, meditate on those words, and obey them. I guarantee you, it will be the most difficult thing you have ever done in your life. And that's why many in the church won't read or study the words in red. Because they are difficult. Because they leave us with a choice to obey or to disobey. And so we don't read the words in red because they're too challenging. And yet they are the secret of our joy. They are the secret of our fulfillment. Do you remember the wedding at Cana? What did Mary say to the servants? It's not a rhetorical question. Do what he tells you. These are Mary's words. They are pregnant with meaning. When we do the words of Jesus in red, we begin to embody Christ. I've lived and worked in Oxford for 32 years. I've worked extensively with the homeless, with alcoholics, with addicts, with ex-offenders. I was working for a church and the verger came to me, rather desperate, and said, Paddy's outside, he's shaking like a leaf. It's the middle of November, the frost on the ground was thick. Early in the morning, I went out. Paddy was one of the most notorious gang leaders in Oxford at the time. He was homeless, he was a drug dealer, he was a drug user, hard drugs, and he was alcoholic. He had been thrown out of every hostel. because of his violence. And the verger was saying, if we let Paddy sleep outside, he could freeze to death, literally. And at that time, we were finding alcoholics under the bridges along the river, frozen to death. I phoned my wife up at work, and we knew Paddy. He was coming into church. He was coming into church drunk, shaking, and he was singing loud hallelujahs through the service. He was messing up the whole service. But he would leave feeling love, washed, cleansed by the Holy Spirit. Something was happening in his life. And I said to my wife, I think Jesus is asking us to have Paddy home, to stay. And my wife is an angel. She said, but we're going away for the weekend. And I said, well, that's okay then, it won't be a problem. And she said, let me think on this. She phoned me back half an hour later, and she said, yes, I think you're right. Paddy came home with me after work on Friday night. We left almost immediately. The only instructions were, no drink in the house, no friends in the house. You can eat what you want. You can have some of my clean clothes. We have never prayed so much all weekend. We had visions of coming home to a trashed house full of the street community. We got home, and Paddy was sat looking out the window waiting for us. He was sober. He was radiant. And we said, how's your weekend been? And he said, well, I had a huge meal. I had an even bigger bath. And I've either slept or cried all weekend. I cannot believe that someone would trust me with their home. Nobody trusts me with anything anymore. Paddy disappeared one day, and we didn't see him again. That's the way it is. Frank came to live with us shortly after, and Frank was in his mid-60s, chronic, last stages alcoholic. Frank and Paddy were probably two of the most beautiful men I have ever met. In them, I found Christ. In them, I saw Christ. Paddy treated Pam as a mother. Frank treated us as his children. He did our gardening, he did our cleaning. He washed, he cooked. They weren't ministry, they weren't work. They were probably among the best friends I've ever had. John goes on to record the last time Jesus was with them before he was arrested. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, today to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask for in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. That's John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life, the rich young ruler couldn't do it. The rich young ruler was too attached to his comfort. And he went away empty and sad. Sometimes in life, God will throw you a curveball. God may ask you to do something a little bit outside of your comfort zone, a little bit outside of your depth. Maybe one day you will feel the Holy Spirit ask you to do something as crazy as they ask us. I guarantee you, you will never be disappointed. You cannot be shortchanged by God. I lay awake all last night struggling with this message, because it would be easy to think that obedience is a key to eternal life, that obedience is a key to intimacy. I'm not speaking, I'm not preaching, I'm not teaching salvation by works. We obey Jesus because of the great love that he has shown us. We could not obey Jesus unless we have received that love. There's a beautiful book by Bernard of Clairvaux, 14th century mystic and saint, and he teaches on the four loves. The first love is the love of a child, the love of a narcissist. We love God because God has saved us. We love God because God has given us our daily bread. We love God for selfish reasons. But then Bernard goes on to show the transition through the stages, four stages, and we end up in a place where we are willing to say to God, like Job, yea, even if thou slayest me, yet will I love and serve you. That is Christ-like love. That is where I want to end up in life. It is costly sometimes, the choices that we may have to make. So, I want to encourage you. Read the words in red and do what he says. If you forget everything that I've said today, if I come and preach again next year, remember me for this one thing that I have said to you today. Read the words in red and do what he says. There you will find your joy. There you will find your peace and your fulfillment. There you will find eternal life. Thanks be to God. I have found there is nothing sweeter in this life than to be with Jesus. So we're going to sing song number, well, it's on the screen, To Be in Your Presence, and I think we're going to sing it three times.
Thank you.
If you love me, you will obey my commands. And I will send another advocate to be with you, the Holy Spirit. Lord, we open our hearts to you, we open our minds to you, that you might transform us by the power of your word, by the glory of your grace at work within us, that we might worthily magnify you, that we might glorify you, that we might learn to obey the promptings of your spirit, that God would come and abide with us, that God might fill us afresh, that we might be overflowing, that from the fullness of our hearts, our lips would speak. From the fullness of our hearts, love might overflow in this city, to our neighbors, Holy Spirit, would you quicken our hearts this week? May we hear the promptings of your Spirit. Maybe just to sit and have a coffee with someone and listen to them, to listen to their story. Maybe to ask somebody for dinner. To reach out to that lonely person. Lord, fill us afresh with your love. Amen. Sadly, I've got to dash off to the other place this morning, straight after the service. So I can't stop for cake or coffee, but hopefully I'll be back and I'll be able to talk to you again then. Thank you for listening.
And thank you, Chrissy, for your words. Now we come to our prayers of intercession and commitment. Let us pray. Spirit of wisdom, you were there at the moment of creation, and you join us now with all the peoples of the world, all Christian believers, past, present, and to come. Inspire our leaders to make wise decisions. Show us all how to enjoy the life of the Spirit, to live wisely and to appreciate one another's gifts. Spirit of wisdom, there before the world began, bring unity. Strengthening Spirit, Jesus called you our helper. We are weak, but you are our shield and defender. We pray for all who are or feel embattled, for all who are afraid. Strengthening Spirit, help us in times of trouble. Bring peace. Bring courage. Life-bringing Spirit, you are the breath of God deep within us. May we never lose touch with your rhythm, which is the balance of our lives. We pray for the diversity and integrity of creation, and for those who suffer because of our careless use of it. Life-bringing spirit, breath and heartbeat of God, bring balance. Empowering spirit, Jesus called you our advocate. Through you we can find true justice. We pray for all who are powerless, all who have no one to speak for them. Empowering spirit, voice of the powerless, bring justice. Communicating spirit, Jesus said you would lead us into all truth. Speak to us and speak through us. In a world where words are often used to deceive, cajole, or degrade people, we pray for all who need to hear the truth of God's love for them in Jesus. Communicating spirit, spirit of truth and love, bring meaning. Caring spirit, Jesus called you our comforter, handing us God's love and touching us with healing. You enable us to pass on the fruit of care to others. We pray now for all who need comfort or healing. Caring spirit, comforter, bring wholeness. Life-changing spirit, you bring us hope. Help us always to reach outwards and upwards, seeking light and hope for others. Life-changing spirit, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, who has changed our lives forever. Amen. We sing hymn number 707, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Thank you.
Trinity, dance of love in three steps, care and grace and mercy. You are with us always, to the end of the pandemic and beyond. Face of wonder, Father, present in creation, you are with us always till your gifts are loved and nurtured and transformed. Son who shared our being and taught us true compassion, you are with us always in those who care for others, those who heal. Spirit, source of courage, comforter, defender, you are with us always wherever there's injustice, fear, or pain. Spirit, Son, and Father, inspirer, friend, creator, you are with us always until the new beginning dawns on earth. And so let's join together in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. And I should have mentioned earlier that not only do we have tea and coffee in the hall after the service now, but there will also be a lunch, and we're going to carry on with our third gathering for anyone an evangelist. So do please stay for that.
Thank you. you.